SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Enough! Horse racing, handicapping,
interviews.
This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
A very good Friday. Race fans and Eagles fans. Yes. I didn't go to sleep. I've been up straight through from 12:15 or whatever it was. No, I'm kidding. I did go to sleep. It didn't feel like it. I'm anxious to hear from Johnny D. See if Johnny, I'm sure by now he's up and he watched the replay. It was my intention because we got a big weekend ahead, and I was going to, you know, fall asleep. I set the DVR, and I thought, all right, I'll get up and watch it in the morning. But the one thing you can say about this team, it's the games are entertaining. 2-2, and every game is an absolute just – slugfest and incredibly entertaining. And last night, I did wake Tina up, boy, when that interception. She's like, what happened? I said, they won. They're going to win. Pretty funny. A lot of fun. Although I tell you, we talk about I know I kid about this, and I won't spend too much time. So we got tons to do, but a reiteration that every major enterprise of any size or ilk or breadth, it has management issues and wrinkles, you know, in the system, the ghosts in the machine, whatever they want to call it. And, you know, the constant geschrying and hand-wringing over everything that happens in racing with the under the pretense that no other professional sport ever had. This NFL, they've got a central governing body. They've supposedly got rules that are uniform across all the venues and all the games, and yet they're struggling to execute and to uniformly administer. If you want to complain about stewards in racing, only in racing can this really? Really? Only in racing? Yeah. The NFL has got a mammoth problem. There's no continuity, there's no consistency in the calls, and it's maddening to watch, you know, to watch the game and have any, you know, have any flow, it because they don't know what to do. And I mean, personally, I know you can't turn the clock back, no more replay. I mean, we've got the advantage of replay, and we racing had it long before professional sports were utilizing video replay, right? The stewards were watching film and making decisions. And, you know, the inconsistencies that arise out of that, well, now everybody else is dealing with it. So don't claim and pretend that, you know, some of those, you know, tropes that we hear. Oh, if we had a governing body, NFL's got a governing body. Oh, if we had consistent rules, NFL's got consistent rules. And look what's going on. So, anyway, there's nothing like going to bed happy and waking up happy when it comes to cashing tickets or winning a race or selling a horse, whatever it is in our game. And plenty of everything yesterday and going into this tremendous weekend. And boy, oh boy, there's ramifications, there's Breeders' Cup, winning your rins, there's TV broadcasts, there's carryovers, there's jackpot distributions. it's just ridiculous. And we'll cover as much of it as we can today. First of all, regarding Sale, just a quick note. Yesterday, they had that inaugural Phasig California Fall Yearling Sale, and it went pretty good. Kind of introducing, and the RNAs were high, 46%, I think I saw. But it was a decent start, and pretty much a lot of the popular and well known California entities were on hand to buy some yearlings. Samantha Siegel swung into action, and bought a pair of the top 10 hips, top seller, $150,000 Golden Sense yearling, and Steve Gasparilli for Sluggo Racing and Mike Pipey. They got into action. Jeff Bondi bought the hard-spun yearling that was $135,000. Eclipse involved Aaron Wellman and his team. Sky Mesa Colt, $115,000. Sam bought a Square Eddie yearling, as well as a Dad's Caps yearling. How about that? Nice out there. And the Colts, I don't even see in the top 10, I don't even see a filly. So, decent start to the Phasig California Sale, and they'll turn their attention to Monday at Timonium and the Mid-Atlantic Sale. A lot of, a lot of regional, a lot of Pennsylvania bred, New York bred, etc. And not just, of course, but Timonium next on the docket before we turn to October on the sale front. All right, put that away. Turn to racing action. And, of course, today Santa Anita starts. Jay Pribman will join us out of the blocks, first guest of the morning. In fact, we give you the trifecta of DRF correspondent and handicapper visitors. Jay Pribman first, and Jay will talk about the introduction at DRF.com. The Breeders' Cup section, I told you yesterday, is up and running, so you can track the contenders, get out ahead of it, and be aware. And, of course, that includes the international set. Marty McGee joins us. Churchill wraps up, and you've got the ACAC and the Lucas tomorrow, as well as the Jeff Cup, which is really good. The Jeff Cup is the I thought was really a well-matched field. And we'll see what Marty thinks. And, of course, Keeneland on the horizon for next week. Mike Beer will step in top of hour two. We'll get Mike's takes on the Belmont card. Dave Grenig tied up this morning, so we'll do straight handicapping with Beer. And we'll talk to Dave Grenig next week. Hammer is patrolling Clocker's Corner. We're going to reach Hammer while he's out there pressing the flesh. He's got some interesting news. James Scully's playing golf. How about that? Scully's playing golf today. And we'll talk to Ed DeRosa, and we'll let Ed freeform handicap. I promised yesterday that Jeff Siegel is going to join us now on Fridays and talk the Santa Anita cards leading up and through Breeders' Cup. So Siegel, the brain, the brains behind the operation, one of the great hardworking opinion cappers and players out there. And I think we'll also get to Mary Rampolini before we wrap up today, and the Oklahoma Derby, Remington Oaks, Remington Green, and so much more. The Vance, the Gaylord, Sunday's card at Remington Park as well. And regarding Sunday, let me give you this, because I do not want to miss, all the scheduled activities. And, we're not going to handicap the Rainbow Six or the Empire Six, but the two of them are being distributed on Sunday. Rainbow Six Empire 6, Oklahoma Derby Day, and also the Zenyatta being run at Santa Anita. Basically, the Santa Anita action kind of front-loaded Friday and Saturday. The Sunday card, pretty much the Zenyatta the focus, but they'll be paying plenty of attention today and tomorrow to Santa Anita, but the Zenyatta goes as the fifth on Sunday. So that's the Sunday stuff when it comes to the force distributions. Churchill is moving, is running their force out tomorrow. They moved it up because obviously a glut of jackpot distribution days. You know, the one at Gulfstream is going to be very big. And a quick note, because I do not know if we'll come back to this while I'm on this topic. Just to give you an idea of how insane the Gulfstream sequence is, here's what you're looking at. It's going to start in race six. There's 14 two-year-old maidens. Yeah, 14. Then going 5.5. Then there's a 10,000 claimer going a mile on the turf. 13 horses in there. Two-year-old filly maidens claiming going 6 furlongs. 10 of them. 13 in the 3 and up. 16 claimer a mile on the grass. Then 10 in a $6,250 non-winners of 2 claiming event a mile on the main track, 10 horses, and then 11 in the nightcap, maiden claimers going 7.5 on the turf, 11 horses. So 14 by 13 by 10 by 13 by 10 by 11. Yeah, I don't know. That's a little... a little overwrought. Give people a spot or two. I've said this a million times. Give them a spot to take a breath. They just can't seem to do it down there. In New York, you've got a 9 by 8 by 11 by 7 by 8 by 10. 9 maiden claimers going 7 on the widener. The New York action starts in the fourth. Then a New York bred allowance, fillies and mares, going 6.5 on the main, 8 horses. 11 New York bred maidens, 3 and ups. So you got some form to deal with. Then 7 in a nice mile and a 16th main track allowance. That's got some stake horses, essentially, bonus points. Performer, Mijos, Grump's Little Tots. These are real horses. And then the stake, the Miss Grillo. And you've got 8 in there going a mile and a 16th. And then 10 in the maiden claiming 40, 7 on the widener, 7 furlongs. And actually there's 9 because there's an MTO in there. So 9 horses in the nightcap. It's reason that that's... I mean, as opposed to 14 by 13 by 13 by... come on. It's just... it's not enough that they're holding $2 million hostage down there. It's unbelievable. Today, you got the $100,000 plus carryover in the Stronach 5. And this, this... is a big betting opportunity. And Laurel starts it and finishes it, the 8th and the 9th. The Gulfstream 7th. Santa Anita 4th. And the Golden Gate 4th. And this is a challenge. This is a challenging sequence. The breakdown is... the breakdown is at least, approachable. And it's a good opportunity. And as we talked with Marshall Graham, the positive expectation, and I imagine that this one, the last one, two weeks ago, only drew you know, less money. I have it. Where'd I put that? It's actually right here, I think. And yeah, it only had $288,000 bet into the $97,000 carryover. I think this one, I think people will be keyed up today for the big weekend and Santa Anita's opener. I think you'll get more play today. And so the, you know, the positive return to players should be very good. All right. So there's the lay of the land. I was going to do some results from yesterday, but I think I'll save it, particularly for Marty McGee when we talk to him. I mentioned it? After Cherie DeVoe, I mentioned after she had that win the other day at Indiana that Cherie was, you know, after a slow start, she'd admit it, to her training career. She's won with three of her last seven starters, and all young horses that have come out running. So Cherie seems to be starting to get some traction. Good for her. Take a break. Jay Pribman's going to start it off. He's fit and ready. Got a little freshening. And we'll start talking Santa Anita. We'll talk Breeders' Cup. We'll talk three-year-olds, everything. Jay Pribman starts us off. Weekend preview.
The latest racing news. It's At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years. We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and Kent the Sermon on Afternoon Delights, absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade One race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At The Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
We're back at the races, coming up about 20 minutes into hour one on this weekend preview, and the weekend starts now. Santa Anita kicks off the lead up to the Breeders' Cup, and they're not messing around. Two grade ones today for the two-year-olds, the Chandelier and the American Pharaoh, and the Eddie D. No longer down the hill, but still, you know, still intriguing. And Jay Privman is ready after a little bit of a freshening. Jay, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How are you?
Excellent. And boy, what a glut of just fascinating racing coast to coast. And, you know, a lot of it is Breeders' Cup oriented, but there's a little bit of everything this weekend. Things start right there, though. No longer a home game, though.
No, no longer a home game. Got to make the haul up to Arcadia later today and for the races tomorrow as well. But should be a fun weekend. You know, a lot of these races used to all be on Saturday. The Eddie D was the recent traditional opening day feature, but they would run the Chandelier and the American Pharaoh and on Saturday along with the stakes that will be run tomorrow and the Zenyatta as well. But they've spread everything out now. So you've got the two races for the two-year-olds today, which tracks what happens at the Breeders' Cup. So those races will be on Friday, 5 weeks out. Then tomorrow you've got 5 weeks out, the Awesome Again, which melds into the Classic. And then the Zenyatta was moved to Sunday. So they've spread all these races out over a few days, which is kind of the way it used to be back in the days before they would just sort of have these Super Saturday kind of cards.
Exactly. And I kind of like having, you know, having the old-fashioned spread a weekend like this, and the next couple of weekends, though, there's plenty for everybody. And Jay, before we talk specifics and even recap, I made mention yesterday that DRF had opened the Breeders' Cup section, and it's such a great compendium for anybody that wants to get a handle on the lead-up, the contenders, where they're going, where they've come from, etc. Lay out the coverage in the paper.
Well, sure. As you know, there's 14 Breeders' Cup races, the five races for two-year-olds that'll be on the Friday, and then the other nine on Saturday. And we assign people to every race. I, for instance, have the Juvenile Fillies as my Friday race and the Classic on Saturday. And we all make phone calls and try and get as much information as we can, put a grid together of the top 10 contenders for each race, with their next start and a little comment on all of them. And then either David Aragona for the Friday races or Brad Free for the Saturday races does a line on all those races. So I think from a comprehensive standpoint, it's really a great tool if you're trying to just get a line on who's running in all of these races, ranging from, you know, the Classic to the Juvenile Fillies, Juvenile Turf Sprint. We've got it all covered, so I think we've got a pretty good resource here.
It can't be beat, and I use it to track and you know who's heading where, you know, there's already important news where Steve Anderson talking to Chad Brown about the potential for Bricks and Mortar to try the mile, which would be fascinating, etc. So really everything you need, everything you could want at the DRF Breeders' Cup section. Let's talk about your two big races and kind of meld it into the Santa Anita action, Jay. Some reaction first to what went on at Parks on Saturday.
Well, it's just sort of a strange race with you know, Math Wizards obviously come a long ways this year, and you got the upset victory. There were some disappointing performances, I thought. I'm a huge fan of Mr. Money's, and I really liked him, and I thought he got a big edge when Improbable didn't break, but he just wasn't good enough. He was second best on the day, and maybe he just doesn't want to quite run that far, so it looks like they're thinking of turning him back to something like the Dirt Mile. And Math Wizard, it looks like they're considering both the Dirt Mile and the Classic. So we'll see. I've got him on my top 10 for the Classic right now, but it's a it's a tenuous spot because there's some horses running, for instance, in the Awesome Again tomorrow, who if they were to run big races, you know, horses like Draft Pick or Mongolian Groom, who could force their way into the top 10 if they either pulled off the upset in the race or gave the top contenders in the race, like McKenzie and Higher Power, a run for their money.
The 3-year-olds will shift gears, at least in New York, with the opportunity to face elders. And, of course, a lot of eyes on Tacitus and Code of Honor in that Jockey Club Gold Cup. Before we talk the Awesome Again and the contenders there, some thoughts about the Jockey Club.
I think it's a terrific race, even though there's only five horses in there. But, you know, four of them are horses that are on my current top 10 list for the Breeders' Cup Classic, including those 2 3-year-olds, the 1-2 finishers out of the Travers with Code of Honor and Tacitus. And that's one of the fascinating things of this time of the year, is seeing across all divisions whether the 3-year-olds can match up against the older horses. I'm really looking forward to this race. In the case of Bill Mott, who trains Tacitus, I mean, right now I've got him with 3 possibilities for the Classic. Yoshida is going straight to the Classic. He's not going to have another prep race. His last race, when he finished 3rd in the Woodward, is going to be his final prep. So he goes straight to the Classic. But he also has Tacitus, where if he were to perform well tomorrow, he'll go on to the race. And there's a very strong possibility Elate could end up in the Classic. She's going to run next weekend at Keeneland in the Spinster. But while the Distaff is certainly the, on paper, maybe the more obvious spot for her, you know, Mott is of the belief that Elate is better at 1.25, and she's in fact 3 for 3 at 1.25. And so that might be what decides whether or not she goes on to run in the Classic at 1.25, as opposed to staying at 1.125 for the Distaff. And, you know, that we'll find out in a week's time, but he's certainly sitting with a pretty interesting hand as we sit here 5 weeks and a day out from the Classic.
Well, with the 2 prominent 3-year-olds, with Code of Honor and Tacitus running, and then you fold in Preservationist and Vino Rosso, and of course Vino Rosso, having gone out to Santa Anita and won at the Classic distance, remains a fascinating Classic player looking ahead. But then you fold in what's going to happen in the Awesome Again, Jay, and tomorrow, you know, really is the principal afternoon for Classic aspirations.
No question. Like we said, four of the top contenders for the Classic are in the Jockey Club Gold Cup, and then here at Santa Anita for the Awesome Again, you've got McKenzie, who'd been pointing for this race, but then you've also got Higher Power, who initially, after the Pacific Classic, John Sadler told me he thought he would train him straight into the Breeders' Cup, but the horse has trained so well coming out of that race that to just sit on him for another 5 weeks is just not considered in his best interest. So he's going to go tomorrow as well. And then you've got Seeking the Soul, who has shipped in for Dallas Stewart. He ran dreadfully in the Pacific Classic, but he was suffering from the thumps afterwards, which is an electrolyte imbalance. He just was not himself that day. And to try and guard against that, they brought him out here earlier to get him acclimated. And he's not only going to run here tomorrow, but he'll stay the rest of the way through the Classic. And he won a Win and You're In. He won the Stephen Foster already. There's also Win and You're In already in the bank for Higher Power through the Pacific Classic and for McKenzie through having won the Whitney. So those horses are already in. The race is a Win and You're In tomorrow, so they're already in the Classic regardless. So it's kind of an intriguing race in terms of how much you want to get out of this race, knowing that you're already in. Obviously you want to perform well, and you've still got 5 weeks to recover, but it'll be interesting to see if, for instance, McKenzie and Higher Power end up throwing it down, how they come out of that race and go on towards the Classic.
Well, the other names that were on the initial list, Mucho Gusto, who is headed down to Oklahoma for the Oklahoma Derby, and you mentioned a late, and the only other horse in the remainder bin is Yoshida, who is actually do we know, does he have a plan? Is he training up? What is he doing?
I must have gone out for coffee. I mentioned, you know, he's training straight into the classic.
Okay, that's right.
And Mucho Gusto, I've got as an others right now. I mean, he's not in the top 10. I've got him as one of the other potentials. It's not certain that he'd go on to the classic. He probably, if he was to run in a Breeders' Cup race, he'd probably more likely be for the Dirt Mile. But we'll see how he does in the race this weekend and what they want to do with him going forward after that. You know, his sire did win the classic at Santa Anita a few years ago.
Yeah. Well, beyond the classic and Jay, I mean, let's talk about this meet overall and get you know, the themes. And obviously, there's a lot of scrutiny to deal with. And, you know, I think everybody would love to take the momentum from Del Mar and Los Al, really, too, and just distill it and assume that we're going to, you know, go forward smoothly to Breeders' Cup. Your thoughts with today's opener?
Oh, I mean, I think you said it all right there. There's obviously going to be a lot of eyeballs on Santa Anita. There's been some management tweaks out here in terms of overall responsibilities, and there'll be more in the aftermath of the Breeders' Cup when Craig Fravel leaves the Breeders' Cup and comes to take over from that aspect with Stronach Group. And I think getting someone back in California of a Craig Fravel who worked for a long time at Del Mar before he took the Breeders' Cup job, I think someone who knows the ropes out here and is familiar with Santa Anita, which right now is largely populated by in upper management by people who did not grow up with racing at Santa Anita, and I think his perspective would be something that'll help things going forward. There's been a lot of changes. You know, you think back 12 months ago, the racing secretary changed, even the track announcer changed. There were a lot of other management changes coming and going, and hopefully there'll be some stability going forward, and hopefully that'll translate into some stability regarding what goes on the racetrack as well.
Well, that's certainly what we're all hoping for. Let's talk about the racing today, Jay, and the two-year-old males are a glamour division. You're going to be covering the juvenile fillies this year, too, so we can talk about the Chandelier. In fact, let's start with the Chandelier, smaller group, before we talk about the pretty fascinating addition of the American Pharoah. Bast, obviously, the filly to beat.
Certainly so. I mean, I would say that right now she's considered the pro tem favorite for the juvenile fillies, but like a number of horses at this time of year, she needs to prove that she's as good around two turns as she is around one. She was a romping winner of the Del Mar Debutante. She'd run well in her debut, going 5.5 furlongs behind Inspiresa, who is a really fast filly, and she just couldn't catch her that day. And in her second start, she put blinkers on. She got a perfect trip. There were three horses that just dueled for the lead right in front of her, and she sat behind them and made the move and went on and won, but now she's got to prove that she can do it around two turns. You've got a couple in here for Doug O'Neill, including Comical, who was a distant third in the Del Mar Debutante, but has won the Schuylerville back in your neck of the woods earlier this year. And there's a filly in here I'm really intrigued by, who I think is going to give Bast a run for her money, and that's KP Dreamin'. She won going two turns at Del Mar, which I think is going to give her a little bit of an edge over her rivals in here, having that two-turn experience. Her fig wasn't all that strong, but she beat a pretty promising filly in Gingham, and I think she's the kind who's cut out for this two-turn kind of racing. She's by Union Rag. She's out of a point-given mare. That's distance upon distance, and I think she's a very strong threat to Bast this afternoon.
Well, and she's the only filly with two-turn experience in here.
Right, yeah. And I think that's going to serve her well.
Nice. I'm glad you pointed her out. And absolutely, the Union Rags out of the Point Given mare, Peter Vexo bred, $170,000 two-year-old in training purchase, Jeff Mullins, and KP Dreamin'. I like it, Jay. Thanks for that. Let's talk about the boys and the crazy situation, of course, that saw eight rings bolt toward the gap in the Del Mar Futurity. It also took Storm the Court with him, and they both come back here, but there's plenty of other fodder in here to consider.
Yeah, this is an above-average group of two-year-olds, yeah. I think, out here right now. The Del Mar Futurity was just a complete mess between what happened at the start of the race and then a race that just came home so achingly slow. They went off really fast and just crawled home with a final furlong, for instance, in 14.43 seconds, and a fig for the winner that was anemic with Nucky getting a 68. So there's a lot for horses who ran in that race and weren't interfered with to prove, and obviously you've got Eight Rings and Storm the Court, who just didn't get a chance that day to show what they can do. But all that said, I think the race goes through Express Train. This horse's win at Del Mar for John Sheriffs was dynamic. He was a distant second in his first race to Eight Rings, but you know, much like KP Dreamin', here's a Union Rags who was much better, going two turns in his second start. If you get a chance, watch the tape of the race of this horse. Mike Smith kind of gave him a breather about midway through the race, and then asked him to re-engage, and when he did, he just took the bit and went right on with it. Got a strong fig, won like it was nothing for him to be going two turns, and I think this is a really high-quality colt. Obviously, Eight Rings is extremely talented. He showed it in his first race, and then there was the unfortunate situation in the second race when he just tried to make the gap, but those are the top two in the race, but I give a lean to Express Train in this one.
How about that? And I know that Brad Free leaned toward American Theorem, and this was the George Papa Padromo that was a flashy debut winner, and we got plenty of press coming out of Del Mar. We should throw in the Shoplifted's excursion out to California for Steve Asmussen. And that Collusion Illusion looks like there's upside.
Sure. Those are quality horses. Collusion Illusion is a really good horse. Mark Glad had a tremendous meet at Del Mar. And I think this horse has quite a bit of quality. They purposely skipped the Del Mar Futurity because they didn't want to run him three times this summer. They've pointed for this race, so he's going to have a really big chance. And you're right about American Theorem. You know, I'd mentioned him on your show before he ran because he just trained so promisingly prior to that debut, which he won very impressively. He beat a couple of good colts in there, I think, as well. But you know, this is a big stretch to go two turns off one sprint. It's a big ask. I think he's a quality colt, but I think in terms of experience, not only in terms of racing, having had two races, but also important, I think, at this time of year is this two-turn experience. If you can show you can handle it, and Express Train more than showed that in his last start, and that's why I prefer him.
Fair enough, and we'll mention Doug O'Neill's two horses, Four Left and Defense Wins. Defense Wins was a horse that Doug talked about on this show back during the summer, maybe either before the maiden debut or afterward, and he is a maiden in here, but he's kept good company, and we'll see if the two-turn suits Defense Wins. He's a flatter out of the nice Silver Charm mare, Deb's Charm, and going to be a price in here. This is I'm looking forward to this, Jay, as much as any race this weekend.
Yeah, it's a terrific race. There's just so many horses in here that look like they have the potential to be good now, but also down the line as well. The reason I was against Defense Wins in here, I really liked his first race against Collusion Illusions. I just figured he'd improve off of that. I just, all the horses out of the Del Mar Futurity who were not part of the kerfuffle at the start of the race, just to me, all underperformed. It was just a slow, ugly race, and I've just got to take a stand against them off the way that race played out. But I do think Defense Wins down the line has the potential to be a very nice colt.
Well, the Eddie D also on the card, and of course now 5 furlongs and a lot of familiar turf sprinter faces. Stormy Liberal trying to get some traction as he heads toward, in fact, both of the Peter Miller sprint winners trying to arc back toward a certainly unprecedented opportunity this year in the Breeders' Cup. And, Jay, some highlights from Saturday, the John Henry and the Rodeo Drive, and that awesome again.
Yeah, so let me just go quickly, though, on this Eddie D. I just wanted to, you mentioned, it's now at 5 furlongs. It's not down the hill. This year, just to remind everybody, the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint this year is also at 5/8. And so that's one of the reasons that this race is at 5/8 this year. I mean, hopefully they'll be using the downhill course for sprints. They're using it for 2-turn races. They're going to cross the dirt in the Rodeo Drive and the John Henry, which are 1.25-mile races that start on the hill. But they're not coming down the hill for the sprints. But in the specific case of the Eddie D, that does mirror what they're doing with the Breeders' Cup this year. And that's a decision that was made by the Breeders' Cup before Santa Anita suspended sprint racing down the hill. The 5 furlongs is something they've been thinking of doing, and they decided to do that. And it makes it a different kind of race. You look at a horse like Eddie Haskell, who's just much better at 5/8 than he is at 6.5 down the hill. It really helps a horse like him. And you mentioned Stormy Liberal. I just don't know that he's quite back to where he was. His two races have just not quite, since he's come off a layoff, have just not quite been as good as they can be. He's obviously a really, really good horse on his day, but one of the things that has been his calling card is just that he would always win the close finishes. He were 4 in a row that he won last year in photos. And earlier this year, he dropped a couple of narrow decisions, and he hasn't won since then. And it just looks to me like he might be on the other side right now. Also with the 5/8 that we were talking about, it really helps a horse like Mr. Vargas, who's just extremely fast and beat Eddie Haskell and Stormy Liberal last time. There's one other horse in here, Steve, I want to point out, who I'm just a big fan of, and I think he's got a huge chance today as well, and that's Tribalist. This is a horse that Blake Heap trains, and this horse has had numerous issues with tendons over the years where he's just had to have repeated layoffs of a year or close to a year or more than a year in some cases. And he's always come back and fired. He's 8 years old. He's only run 12 times in his career. And his one run at Del Mar was quite good. He was just second best on the day to Eddie Haskell. But they decided not to run him back in the Green Flash to give him some time for this. And I would love to see him win this race, because the job that Blake Heap has done with this horse has just been phenomenal, to repeatedly bring him back off of injuries and have him perform at a high level.
Ah, I like it. And it's amazing. He's 8 years old now. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Barry Abrams co-bred him. Unbelievable. And still owns. I didn't realize that. They've just amazing. And a testimony to, we talked so much earlier in the year about, or in the summer, preservationist and what Centennial and Jimmy Jerkins, what they did and the patience shown. And he certainly looks like he's worked well enough to be ready in here. He's 5-1. So Jay offering a couple of alternatives on today's card. Tribalist from the outside in the Eddie D, and little KP Dreamin'. Be aware going into this nice Friday card. Let's hit some Saturday highlights.
Sure. So you mentioned we already talked obviously about the Awesome Again, but then you've got those two grass races I was alluding to, both 1.25-mile races, both races that track towards Breeders' Cup races. Yeah, I've just been underwhelmed, Steve, by the male grass division out here this year. I just don't think it's that good. It's kind of a lottery every time. You spin a big prize wheel and just see whose number comes up. You've got Acclimate, who won wire-to-wire in the Del Mar Handicap. He's one of the top contenders tomorrow in the John Henry. But the horse that I kind of give a lean to in here is United, who is going to be running in a stake for only the second time. But I liked his race in the Whittingham back in May. He's only run one time since. He won an allowance race at Del Mar going a mile and an eighth. I think he wants all of a mile and a quarter. He was going to run in the Del Mar Handicap at a mile and three eighths, and he got a little bit sick. Mandela had a little bit of sickness going through his barn at one point at Del Mar. But he's come back, and he's had some works at Santa Anita since all that happened. And I think that he's kind of a horse on an upswing here, and you might want to catch him on the way up instead of some of these ones that have just sort of, they just look like they take turns beating one another. And I want a new face in this race, and that's where I landed. I like United in that race tomorrow.
They'll be chasing Acclimate for sure, and
yes. He's
got every he's got every right really to wire him. I'm a little sorry. I didn't realize until I just looked at the morning line. John made Acclimate 4-1 third choice, and United 3-1 Grecian Fire 4-1. 7-2 on Cleopatra's Strike. It is the usual suspects, Jay.
In a lot of cases, yeah.
Right. How about that six pack in the Rodeo Drive?
Well, you've got Beau Recall coming back out here. She's obviously done very well shipping out here. She's familiar with being out here because she started her U.S. based campaign out here with Simon Callahan, and then now she's been with Brad Cox for a while, since late last year, and she came out here and won the Yellow Ribbon, beating Storm the Hill and Basilica that day, and she'll ship back out to run in the race, or she has shipped back out because she's already here. She's running in the race tomorrow, but there's only six in here. Basilica, owing to the situation with Jerry Hollendorfer, is going to go to Keeneland next week and run in the First Lady. I'm hoping that Paved can take a step forward. Her race last time in the John Mabee was okay. I think she's better than that. And she's done very well on Santa Anita's grass course. So I'm looking for her to maybe take a bit of a step forward. But, Beau Recall looks like the horse to beat, but I don't know that she wants a mile and a quarter. I mean, she likes to have pace in front of her, and she's done well going a mile. And this is a distance at which she finished fourth last year in the Rodeo Drive, behind Basilica and Paved, and I think she's probably a little bit better now than she was then, but I still think the distance is probably not ideal for her. I'll give you a horse in here who's, I think, got a little bit of an upset look in here, and that's Mirth. She just got a really bad ride last time. She was going a mile and three eighths. She got caught up in a crazy pace duel. They went 46 and change for the first half mile, going a mile and three eighths on grass. I just think she wants to lay off horses and finish. They switched to Mike Smith. She's drawn the rail. She's never beaten horses of this quality, but her last race looks a lot worse on paper than I think it was. She just had no chance the way that race unfolded, and I think if she gets a smarter, more patient ride, she's got a little bit of an upset look in here. So with the questions over the distance with Beau Recall and Pave maybe not being quite as good as she is, this to me is an intriguing horse to go maybe three deep in here for your for your sequential wagers. I think she's got an upset look in this race.
Well, and of course, some decisions to be made in the awesome again. How deep in the multis do you want to go here, Jay? McKenzie 4-5, but virtually everybody, I suppose, except Isotherm, has at least one race in their PPs that is competitive and that could elevate them. Obviously, Higher Power, the performance was tremendous in the. The opportunity to go a mile and a quarter in the Pacific Classic. But everybody here has got something to like about them.
Yeah, I just think it's a two-horse race, Steve. I think based on the way they've raced recently and also the way they've trained since their last race, I just chalk out in here. I think it's a two-horse race between McKenzie and Higher Power, and I think if you use
Fair
those
enough.
Two, you've got the race wrapped up.
Well, do you have to spread a little maybe in the Unzip Me? And this is another, you know, turf event that had been a hill race, and they're going to go 5.5. And I thought Jonathan Wong on the outside, Stealthy Diamonds was the horse.
Okay. Is Steal the Diamonds?
Is it Steal or Stealth?
It's Steal the Diamonds, all run together.
But you can also, you can't say Stealth?
Stealthy no, because
diamonds?
Stealth doesn't have, Stealthy would be a Y.
That's it's fine.
Steal, look at it again. I know.
I know you're
playing with
an eye and a half.
Blinkers on since summer, but it's Steal the Diamonds.
All right.
And her two races in turf sprints have been quite good. This is a complete grab bag, this race.
Well, it's a great start to.
I'll be rooting for you. Let's put it that way, because I don't have a strong opinion here.
No problem. So. Well, I agree. There's Apache Princess, Don't Sell, Miss Hot Legs, and Holly Hundley. I mean, I got little highlights on all of them. It's a turf sprint. That's what you get. I did notice also. I'll mention. I don't know if I get a chance in that cowbred 2-year-old filly maiden group going as the sixth race. I did see that Doug O'Neill unveils. The sibling of B Squared, who I used to like, Home, the three horse, full actually to B Squared. It was a nice stake filly. It's a great start to the meet, Jay. I'm excited about today.
Yeah, no, it really is. You've got the two really good races for 2-year-olds today, and then all the stakes tomorrow and even the Zenyatta on Sunday. So it's nice and spread out over the weekend, and hopefully have a nice, good, solid 3-day weekend of racing to get things kicked off here and we can move forward.
Absolutely. And on to the Breeders' Cup after this kickoff. And Jay, I appreciate it. We'll have plenty more to recap and look forward to next weekend.
Very good, Steve. Thanks so much.
Jay Bribman, DRF Bribman, everybody. Let's take a quick break. We'll come right back. Marty McGee, as the Churchill action winds down, including another force out, not as sizable as some, but must pay sequences are always a good betting opportunity, and three stakes as well. Marty McGee joins us. Mike Beer in a little bit. Hammer, who's around Clocker's Corner this morning at Santa Anita. Ed DeRosa, Jeff Siegel, much more. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
DRF Sports Forum Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Forum delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsforum. Enter code DRF Sports.
University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Do you ever wonder what happens to your old friends, including the great champions that inspired unforgettable memories, and maybe even let you cash a ticket or two over the years? We even have a former child prodigy.
Here is a superstar. That horse's name is Afternoon Delights, and kept the summer on Afternoon Delights absolutely galloping in the Hollywood Futurities.
These are the champions that help out the horses that might not have won a Grade 1 race, but always tried just as hard. Come visit them all at Old Friends when you're in Kentucky or at our Bobby Frankel division, Old Friends in Saratoga. I know they'll be glad to see you. Go to oldfriendsequine.org or call us at 502-863-1775.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the five Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 388-4643.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
I can't stop shaking. The room has a groove and the floor is almost earthquaking. Look what we're making. History out on the floor and it's just a
we're back at the races. Jay Brippen going around the ground with us this morning. Marty McGee standing by. Good morning. Mart.
Dick, you're late.
I know, I know. Jay was into the bit. I had to let him run.
On the muscle.
Well, he's fit and ready. off the freshening. I love it. You're going to wrap up at Churchill this weekend, and then our scene will shift to Keeneland, and quite a bit of news even on that front with some horses scratching and doing some other things. John Nichols let us know that Promises Fulfilled work toward the Phoenix, so he's going to come out of the Vosburgh. And Jack Sisterson, Dave Grenig reporting that she's going to go in the Spinster. So there's movement even before we put them in the gate.
Yeah, I've been writing about the Keeneland, how all the Keeneland races are shaping up for next weekend, the Fall Stars weekend. And so I had to let the bosses know, put in Promises Fulfilled for the Preakness, for the Phoenix, starts with a P. Vexatious for the Spinster, and they join a couple of really good races already. You're going to have Whitmore and Recruiting Ready in the Phoenix. That's on Friday, one of two stakes on Friday, and then one of five stakes on Saturday, a week from tomorrow, is the, the Spinster is a week from Sunday. That would be October 6th. Elate makes her final prep for the Breeders' Cup Distaff and that. So you can throw Vexatious in there as a longer shot, because you also have a couple of other grade one winners in Blue Prize and She's a Julie. And I understand that Chad Brown is going to run the three-year-old Dunbar Road against the older horses in the Spinster. So a bunch of these races, Vic, are coming up terrific. We've got 10 of them as usual to open up the Keeneland meet that, that's a week from today on Friday.
Well, and I can also mention Ron Paolucci running Olympic Village in New York, so you can scratch that one out of the ACAC.
Got that.
All right. Anything else that any other overlaps that we're concerned about?
Not really. I mean, we were really looking forward when we opened this meet 2 weeks ago to having Omaha Beach and the ACAC, and then Seeking the Soul in the Lucas Classic. Those are the two meet-ending highlights tomorrow night on the only Downs After Dark card of the meet. But obviously, they both, Omaha Beach stayed in California, and Seeking the Soul went to California. So California's gain is Churchill's loss in that regard.
Well, and we'll see about Omaha Beach, and Mandela after getting a sense that we really didn't know if he was going to be able to run anywhere, now it seems Mandela's pretty excited about the opportunity in the Santa Anita Sprint Championship. We'll talk to Jay about that next week. And meanwhile, let's hit the highlights on tomorrow, and actually the highlights from last week too, Marty, we should include. And I also want to bring up with you the suddenly red-hot Cherie DeVoe, who took a while to kind of gain her footing and is now winning races seemingly daily.
Yeah, I had to make note of that on Twitter last evening when Cherie sent out a real good-looking first-timing curling filly, two-year-old, that her clients paid $250,000 for in April at OBS. And put away a real good field, the 5-to-1 shot. Her name is Curlin-esque. And, yeah, she's over at the Sports Spectrum, at the training center, the Annex, as I called it for years, with the 20 or so, I believe, and doing well. I mean, a win like that will really pick you up because, like I said, that filly beat some good ones last night.
Well, and, of course, it's very good to segregate Cherie from as many people as possible, because she's got experience over there at the Spectrum from when Chuck was over there with horses too. So
wait a minute, Chuck, did Chuck bring her around?
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Oh wow, that's awesome.
Absolutely.
Good.
You bet. Long stretch with Chuck, and of course Chuck worked for her father on the harness side.
Well, I use the term bring him around because I used that once in my copy and my editors nixed it. And it just really kind of, I was writing about a guy named, let me think of the guy's name. Anyway, he brought Bayerano around is what I said. It was a guy at River Downs. And I used that and my editor said, we don't know what that means. So,
well, then an editor at the DRF didn't know what that meant?
I was nonplussed. not to mention a little annoyed. But anyway, that's all water under the bridge. It was eliminated from my copy. I can't think of the guy's name, damn it. But anyway, yeah.
Well,
but that's kind of been a running joke with Jade Pridman and I. It's like, who brought you around? So
I love it.
Dale Austin used to use that all the time. Who brought you around?
Dale Austin. That's it. Then now you're tying yourself back to your Maryland days. I love it.
Yes, sir.
I love it.
Yeah, it's all racetrack talk though.
Exactly. Well, let's talk about what's going to happen on the track. And one of the things we got to let people know, the single six jackpot will be paid out tomorrow. And I got the sense that that decision came to sort of move things away from what is going to be a lot of attention on Sunday to Gulfstream and a little bit to New York.
Yeah, plus you tied to some good races. And
yeah.
it's when you have a lot more eyeballs anyway. Because you're kind
point.
Of in your own little spot there on Saturday night. So they've got 60, I think it's 68 going into today. So I guess they'd bet $300,000 or $400,000 on it, on maybe up to $500,000 on it Saturday night, which is a good idea as opposed to, you know, butting heads with Gulfstream letting that big one go.
Well, and agreed that it's a very nice sequence. And for those that typically think that these are going to be the last six races of the day, it's not. It's races 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So it's the three stakes, two good maiden races, and a two-year-old allowance race that features some really good horses coming out of Kentucky Downs, including Wex, who got put up. And I talked to Larry Jones about Wex just the other day. There's also the Jim McInvale Take It Back coming off the big-priced win at Kentucky Downs, and Katakova for Walsh as well. And I thought those three were the principals in that fifth race, but there's the two maidens that are quite good. And then the three stakes. How about some selections, Martin?
Well, let's see. Where do you want to start? How about the ACAC? It's the 27th running, named for the horse of the year of 1971 before there was the horse of the year. Was he the first horse of the year? Was that when the Eclipse Award started? 71? Anyway, Charlie Whittingham. There's going to be a tremendous pace in here, you would think, going the flat mile and the sprinter, Mr. Jägermeister. By the way, there's three misters in here, Mr. Darcy,
Mr.
Jägermeister, and Mr. Freeze, and they're all lined up against How do you do, sir? How do you do, sir?
and Gary Young gets a nod today.
Mr. Jägermeister, I mean, he's got to go fast early, you would think, which you would think might set it up for a late running sprinter like Airstrike, who shipped in with that Omaha Beach from California this week, and Thirst for Life, who surely will be licking his chops as the pace unfolds up ahead of him. So I'm going to go with Mr. Freeze in here. I like the way he ran off the shelf at Ellis Park, and Dale's going pretty good right now.
Well, I mentioned earlier that we couldn't get Scully. Scully's playing golf, but I know James is all over the Minnesota bred, Mr. Jägermeister.
As he is wont to do. So, I mean, this is a huge test for him to go this extra distance to ground. There's no doubt that he's, superior to the horses he's been facing up north. But I'm very interested. Valerie Lund brought a horse here. It's been at least 10 or 15 years, and I can't think of the horse's name because, like you, Bick, I'm getting pretty old. And
it's the sire.
But
the sire, but Attaboy Roy.
Oh, is that who it was? And he won.
I think so.
Did he win the Churchill Downs Handicap on Derby Day? I mean, he won a big race, maybe the Aristides, but should have researched that. But, she's a very capable hand. I remember going over and visiting her at the Spectrum to interview her about that horse, and it's been a while.
I've had her on, and she's been on a few times, actually. But I'm pretty sure that Attaboy Roy was her horse.
Yeah, you're right. That's the name of it. And Calvin wrote it. I remember that.
Oh, look at that. You know what? Now that you say that, I bet you it is the Churchill Downs that he won.
It was one of the big ones.
How about that? All right, good
and
job.
He was a prize, too. So.
To me, the Jeff Cup was the most difficult of the sequence, and a really well-matched group in here, Marty.
I mean, you got a field of eight. The highest, the longest price on the morning line is 10-1. The favorite is a very tepid 3-1, and that is Tracksmith. He was an okay fourth at Colonial in the Virginia Derby. Before that, he won an allowance here at Churchill on the grass, and then he went to Monmouth, won an ungraded stake on the grass. So I guess he deserves to be favorite, but I didn't see a whole lot of speed in here beyond Mix Star, who comes out of an allowance sprint win at Kentucky Downs. Carews got put up, got kissed in the Indiana race. Tough beat for Jimmy Baker and his wife, Candy Wigginton. That's with two G's, not three. Like Mark Hennig, I had a friend that used to want to call him Henning, like the coach Dan Henning, but it's Hennig with, just two N's, not three N's. This is a tough race, Bick, and you're probably going to have to spread in here if you want to stay alive.
I thought the Tracksmith was the horse to beat, and we talked to Joe Sharp at the beginning of the week after his Charlestown Oaks win, and it's hard not to root for Spectacular Gem in here for Jimmy after that just agonizing takedown. That was brutal.
Now, when you had Joe Sharp on, did you ask him about going back to his Charlestown days? Because he grew up there.
He touched on him, actually. It kind of came up organically, and he talked about being from there. Because I asked about the 7-furlong configuration, and sprinters doing the turns and that kind of thing, and he talked about his view of it and how the kind of horses that handle it, etc.
Yeah, his dad, Mark, with a C, M-A-R-C, used to run over in Maryland. That's how I became familiar with the name, was he'd bring over the occasional Chucktown Chipper, as we called him.
Well, and any number of prominent horsemen made that transition. Ferris Allen, another one, and...
Bill, Don't Call Me Willie Hartack, I believe, was from Charlestown.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then didn't he steward for years afterward?
And the services. I remember that, as a matter of fact, between the Preakness and Belmont, I was dispatched by DRF to go do a lengthy piece on the service family when Smarty Jones was fixing to go for the Triple Crown.
You never know what yellow brick road we're going to meander down. let's talk about the Lucas, and you know, this is it may not have the shiny, you know, glamorous members of the division, but it's got a lot of hard hitters, including one of my own personal favorites, Hawakam, who has just never seems to lose form. Just amazing, actually. And then there's, of course, the two horses that absolutely can't be entered in races without each other, Silver Dust and Pioneer Spirit. Tenfold opted for this over the Jockey Club Gold Cup. Then you got horses under the radar like a Sir Anthony and Masito Rojo, that Kukulkan, the Mexican horse that has proven pretty useful and has been okay, actually. Coming to the U.S. Quip, who is trying to catch a wave here late in the season.
Silver Dust, I think, is going to come out. I called Brett about him, a couple other things. He said he'd been tying up on him recently, and he did it again Thursday morning.
Oh,
so
too bad.
I did use that in my race advance, but you know, I did a little history research on this race, and we've had some pretty short horses win it, starting with Fort Larned back in the 2013 inaugural, when it was known still as the Homecoming Classic. It was in 2015 when they renamed it to honor Dwayne Lucas. But yeah, that'll leave us with a great, still a solid field of nine, Steve, with all the horses you mentioned. Pioneer Spirit's been working bullets. Brad kind of skipped a race with him just to kind of re-energize and get him going here. I think he's going to be all over Quip in terms of chasing him. So I would tend to favor Pioneer Spirit in there among those two, but it really might set up for a late comer like Tenfold, who proved his quality, as we know, at Pimlico. And then you've got other late runners such as Awakam and Big Dollar Bill and Kukulkan. He was when he ran real bad in the slop in the Pegasus, people kind of wrote him off. But since then, he's really redeemed himself. He's trained by a man named Fausto Gutierrez, but really he's at Keeneland with Ignacio Carias, as I understand it. So way wide open race. The 16 for 24 horse, Mosito Rojo, obviously deserving of respect in here. But I guess I'm going to lean toward Pioneer Spirit in here for Brad Cox.
Well, since Quip came up, I will mention for those that like this kind of thing, Quip's full sister makes her second career start tomorrow at Belmont in the fifth. She's on the rail. Laughable for Bob Edwards and Todd Pletcher. Jose Ortiz takes over for Gaffleone, and Laughable comes out of that Saratoga Labor Day weekend race that produced Sparkling Sky. So Quip's full sister.
How about that, Vic?
Unbelievable. And as we wrap up, Marty, I will mention you were right about the price. Attaboy Roy won the 2010 Churchill Downs Stakes, the Grade 2, at 10-1, paid a fat 22-20, and boy, did he beat a field. Warriors Reward, Musket Man, Ventana, Country Day, Munnings. Munnings was a dismal 11th.
What price was he? Who trained him? I forget that.
Six to one.
It was a Pletcher horse.
Pletcher, yeah. Of course. Yeah, yeah. And of course, Country Day, standing stud for the
family Klein.
The Klein family, and down in Louisiana, and getting runners. That is unbelievable. Look at that amazing destiny for Coach, and Who was the favorite in here? Favorite was Musket Man. Wow, for Derek Ryan with Ramon Dominguez.
Wow. All right, Bick. I'll talk to you from Keeneland next Friday. How's that?
Outstanding. Outstanding. Right, what should people look for? What exit? Halfway?
Oh, it's exit 58. Oh, you mean Wadi Paytona? Yeah.
Paytona.
Exactly halfway between my house and and my parking spot at Keeneland. 33 minutes is halfway. Yeah. Aaron, 6 minutes door to door.
Marty McGee, everybody, DRF McGee, and see you later. I appreciate it. Halfway into the third half hour on this weekend preview, Mike Beer is going to join us, then Hammer, Ed DeRosa, Jeff Siegel, Mary Rampolini. Back after this.